Perfect. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for another lovely edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Welcome into episode 23, titled RFK Resurgence Part 2. I'm Logan Hannity, and a very hearty, hearty Omaha to each and every one of you. Be sure to hit those comments for us. Let us know what you think. There's obviously a lot to talk about this week, so I don't want to waste any time. Usually I got a long little extraneous intro for everybody, but I'm not doing that this week. Colin Best, come on in here, you open wheel senior guru. There is a lot to talk about and only an hour to get to it. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic, Logan. We had another exciting week of motorsport. IndyCar and NASCAR were on, and IndyCar and NASCAR will be on for next week as we have the IndyCar, NASCAR, Indianapolis doubleheader. Actually, tripleheader. Because the Xfinity Series is also running at the road course as well. So it's a big weekend of motorsports all in the Midwest of America. You can't beat it.
No question about that. Looking forward to a great weekend of racing. But before we do that, we have to talk about last week's racing and all the news. But before we do that, let's get a hello from our producer. Producer Peggy, come on in here. Say hi. How are you? I know you're working behind the scenes. Hello. Ryan Blaney didn't win. Tough. And I ain't nothing to be sad about, though. It's pretty, you know, top. We count top 10, top 5 for reasons, folks.
I came to the realization that I need to change up my intro and outro because the founder recently made fun of me for it.
Oh.
So,
Yeah, but he's not here. It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, he left the baby up for adoption, and here we are.
Yeah, we adopted it. We're the crazy step parents.
Yeah, we're the crazies in the Raise and Refresh Happy Hour canon. So,
I'll spend this next hour coming up with a new shtick.
Oh well, I like your usual shtick. How about just be you? Because everybody else is taken. All right, and that is great advice for everybody, in my humble opinion. So, Peggy, any final words before me and Colin break down the week?
No.
All right. Well, with that, we got a lot to get to and a short time to get there. You hop on in if you feel so inclined, Peggy. We'll see you in a bit. All righty. So, with that, it's time to get to our weekend review. All righty, let's go ahead and talk about it. Guess what? The reason this is titled RFK Resurgence Part 2 is not because I messed up the intro last week. It is because Christopher Buescher went back to back. I know that a Ford win at Michigan is nothing new, but an RFK win lately is a little bit new. Chris Buescher goes back to back. Colin? RFK, if we haven't already thought so, has certainly arrived now. Any overarching thoughts?
It was sort of the best car of the race didn't win the race. We see that a lot in NASCAR history. We see that a lot in motorsports. But to what Christopher Busch, Chris Buescher did. Sorry, I gave him the Dale Earnhardt Jr. treatment when I shouldn't have. But I think what Chris Buescher did on Sunday was a remarkable drive out of the young man going against, you know, a former champion in the sport, one of the hottest drivers since stage racing has been implemented. I mean, he's the all-time stage winner in NASCAR history. He held him off. He did exactly what he needed to do. Strategy was on point. Defending his position was, bar none, the most exciting part of that race. And I think I can speak for a lot of people that were just, you know, we see Martin Truex Jr. dominate these Monday races. That's all he does. If NASCAR races on a Monday, guarantee it, Martin Truex Jr. is going to probably win that race and win it. And everyone that, you know, we're friends with, we're just rooting on Chris Buescher for as much as we possibly could to make this an entertaining race. And it was an exciting race, don't get me wrong. So RFK now has their first multiple win season since 2012 when Matt Kenseth did it by winning at Daytona and Auto Club, which is a pretty remarkable stat. It's been almost 11 years since that happened. And now RFK has solely, I think, taken their top spot as the number one Ford team in the NASCAR Cup Series.
I think you're right. At this point, right now, I know this can be a hot take. I get it. I know that Penske's got the pedigree. I know that RFK's been down. I know that Stuart Haas also has the pedigree, but they're down lately as well. RFK right now is number one in my view. We're talking more about them potentially winning every single week than we are Penske or Stuart Haas. I think that right there. Now, could anything change in 2 or 3 weeks? Yeah, this is NASCAR. You don't ever know. I know that the guys at Penske and Stuart Haas are working their tails off to keep their spot, so to speak. But right now, if you want to tell me anyone but RFK is the number one Ford team, I think you are a liar. But that is just my opinion. What is your opinion? Let us know in the comments. I think RFK is on an absolute tear. And keep in mind, it's not like it's just Buescher. Brad K finished fourth. There's nothing on the top five. I know he wants that elusive Michigan win. It's his home track. He has said that would mean more to him than Daytona. But hopefully he feels a little bit hopefully he's a little bit satisfied with winning as an owner, because certainly that does count for him. Yeah, the cat in the hat is back, boys. That's the way it goes. So great for RFK, because an RFK having success is good for the sport. Of course, Colin, you and I, growing up and being youngsters, you know, we saw RFK be – there was a time where they were the dominant team. I mean, over even Hendrick. There was a time where they were the best you could possibly throw at for a little while. So this is really cool. Other things that stuck out from the Michigan race, let's give credit where credit's due. MTJ drove a hell of a race. That move from stage two where he was like 14th and then came back to win it, that was insane. That looked like something off the NASCAR Heat Series. Martin Truex Jr., and we'll talk more about him in depth shortly because he's coming back next year. What do you look at and go – because right now he's a contender to win every single race. What do you think we talk about resurgence? What do you think has led to his?
I think he's finally gotten used to the new car. Last year was just a horrible year for Martin Truex Jr., only finding the win column once. And now he's found the win column three times. Correct me if I'm wrong. And he's possibly in contention to winning the regular season championship in three races. So for me, I think just – it took him a little bit to adjust to this new car. Granted, he started in 2006, 2007. He started Gen 4. So we went through to Gen 4, Gen 5, the COT era, and now we're in the next gen era. He's been in four different cars, and, you know, I guess it takes some time to get used to it. And honestly, I think his crew chief was another part of his success. He's had two really good crew chiefs in his career with Cole Pern, who was at Furniture, then moved on. And now James Small, who's the crew chief now, he just seems to be clicking on all cylinders. Like nothing has ever known. He hasn't missed a beat this entire time. And it's weird. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Martin Truex Jr. possibly leaving the Cup Series, retiring, buying that boat, and, you know, enjoying the rest of his days. Now we're talking about him possibly being a championship contender in 2023. And then if he does do well, He could even be a contender in 2024, retiring after a back-to-back championship season. Sounds pretty good to me.
Sounds like John Elway. We do have a comment to get to. Matt Marr piped in. We love Matt. He's a great friend to Racing Refresh. He said, hot take, RFK can be a legitimate title contender. I have to agree. Right now, I think they're a fringe candidate, a dark horse to get it done. I mean, right now, RFK, you look at the teams that are in the – they're running better than HMS is right now. But, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. HMS had a horrible week. They had a horrible week other than the top five from Larson. And nothing wrong with that, but that's 2 Mile Kyle. That's not a surprise. We saw Chase Elliott, his chances of pointing his way in evaporate up in smoke when it came to getting loose. It was going to be hard to do anyway, and yeah, the path is still there, ladies and gentlemen, but it would take a run that he hasn't shown that he's capable of this season. That's all I'll say in terms of him still pointing his way in. Is the math there? Technically, yes, and there's 2 road courses coming up, but Chase Elliott doesn't seem quite the same since his injury and suspension. It could be just, you know, takes a while for things to click, and he's been up against the 8-ball arguably all season. So I think we can pretty much end the conversation of can he point his way in. William Byron at one point was the lock for the regular season points title. That has, again, the path is there, but it's a slim path at this point. I don't want to rule out anything, but it doesn't look likely. Kyle Larson, pretty consistent overall, but everything in HMS is just a little quieter than it usually is. Alex Bowman, he's not looking like he's going to make the postseason. I mean, could he sneak up and win one? I suppose so. You're in HMS equipment, and I think Alex Bowman's a hell of a driver. But there's just something similar to Chase Elliott that's not clicking for HMS and Bowman and Elliott especially. But lately, all four struggling. Look at Penske. Penske's, yes, they have the win from Blaney at the Coke 600. Logano's got the win in Atlanta. Other than that, Cindric is in the doldrums. I mean, he's a dark horse for this week, I think. But let's be honest, it hasn't been a great sophomore season. Yeah, Matt, I think you're right that RFK is certainly a fringe candidate to make a run and get to the championship four at the very least. We'll see what happens. The question is, are they peaking at the wrong time? It is a little early, some would say. I think you're getting hot at just the right time. I really do. We'll see what happens. Please, Matt, keep letting us know what you thought of the race. Anyone else, please keep on commenting. We'll get to every comment we can. And if there's something you want to chat about that we don't touch on, you let us know, and we'll steer that ship much better than they did in the Titanic. Because if they'd have just been like, hey, there's an iceberg there, we'd have figured out. Matt Marr says, Elliott needs to win his way in. I don't care about the math. Everyone is caught up to him on road courses in Daytona as a wild card. He can't simply point his way in. Matt, that's a great point. He is not quite the king of the road that he was. Tyler Reddick kind of has that distinction in this car. Would you agree, Colin, that we can now put the baby to bed on the point his way in argument? I do, again, want to say, parentheses, the math is still there, but it's pretty unlikely. What say you?
I think it's unlikely, too. With the amount of road course ringers that we have coming into the Cup Series over the next 2 weeks, it's the talent is going to be very, very good. And as much as we want to say that Chase Elliott has been this, you know, road course ringer in the Cup Series, that's simply not the case. He didn't even win a road course race last year. He didn't run well at Sonoma either. I mean, a 13th place, but compared to what we've seen out of Chase Elliott, that should be third places, you know, second places wins. I kind of think the road course king is gone. He figured something out in the Gen 6 car that obviously worked, and that has not repeated itself in the next gen car era. So you're really only looking towards Daytona, and in his career, he has not won at Daytona in the Cup Series. He's not a really good super speedway racer. He's only had one super speedway win, and that was at Talladega. So to me, I think Chase Elliott does not make the playoffs in 2023.
And all of Chase Nation went You know, I mean, glasses are breaking around the around Georgia like it's Stone Cold.
You know I'm right.
Yeah, I think odds are long. Matt says this is absolutely the right time to start peeking for RFK. Heath the Moon, I'm going into the playoffs, and from there anything can happen, and Buescher has good tracks for him in the playoffs. Yes, he does, for one being Bristol. Let's not forget that's coming up. Old Concrete Bristol. Yeah, I think that we can pretty much put the baby to bed on Chase Elliott making the playoffs. Anything's possible at Daytona. He is a talented super speedway racer, and right place, right time can get done. Watkins Glen, I can't completely rule him out. Indy's a complete wild card, but I think we're staring down the very likely possibility that the most popular driver is not going to be a championship contender. And frankly, that'll be interesting to see the trickle down effect of how that the sport handles that, because will people tune out in terms of ratings and things like that? When Chase Elliott still on the track, NASCAR is unique in the sense of, look, hey, even though you're not in the playoffs, you still got a chance to win and go trophy hunting. But that's a very unique spot for the sport to be in. Probably not one they want to be in. That's not good for the sport for the most popular driver to be not staring down the barrel of not being in the playoffs. We'll see how it's handled. We'll see what the ratings look like. But, yeah, I think Chase Elliott it looks pretty unlikely that he's going to make the playoffs, and that is a and final thought on that before we move along, because we have to. It'll be, if that holds true, Colin, if that holds true and he doesn't make the playoffs, it'll be really interesting to see how he handles adversity for the first time since he couldn't get his first win. You remember it took him a long time to get that proverbial monkey off the back. But since then, it's been overall smooth sailing. He's got a championship. He's been a contender every year. And if he doesn't make the postseason for the first time since trying to get that first win, he's facing real adversity and some genuine pressure as far as results go. So that's going to be interesting to see if that comes to fruition over the next three races. Don't want to count anything before they hatch, but it looks likely. Matt, anyone else, let us know what you think as far as what the sport's long-term effects are going to be if Chase doesn't make the playoffs. But we got to move it along. We will get to all your comments, though. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Xfinity Series, John Hunter Nemechek got it done yet again. I believe that's his fifth win on the season. I'll tell you what, this guy is he is absolutely dominating. Look, John Hunter did the old spin and win, and he seems to be the absolute Xfinity Series favorite, in my view, at this point. Early, still 13 races or whatever to go, but he feels like the championship favorite. What say you, Colin? John Hunter gets it done again. Does he feel like the championship favorite to you? Because I think he's head and shoulders right now, and I'm not talking about the lovely shampoo product.
Yeah, I mean, he has 5 wins on the Xfinity Series season. He's by far the best driver in the best equipment in the Xfinity Series right now. It's not even close. I certainly enjoyed the Xfinity Series race. Don't get me wrong. These cars are the hardest to drive in any of the NASCAR Cup Series. So, of course, it is an entertaining race to watch. But this guy is just so good. He was, he's made his case to why he should be in the Cup Series, regardless of what ride he's in for next year. He's made his case to be there after taking, a step back, probably reevaluating his priorities, and then coming to the Xfinity Series with Joe Gibbs Racing. And now with 9 wins in 2 years and a runner-up place last year in the championship, didn't make the championship for last year. He was the last run exit. But to me, I think that what we saw, there's not much to talk about from the Saturday Xfinity race, but what you can talk about is that if anyone put on a dominating show, it was John Hunter Nemechek over Martin Truex Jr. in terms of just dominating wins this weekend.
No question. Matt Maher got back to us on the long-term effects of Chase not making it. He said he doesn't think there's any long-term effects, to be honest. In fact, he feels like NASCAR's been handing out playoff waivers left and right and shouldn't have been granted one after suspension. Frankly, I'm surprised John Hunter isn't in a fifth part-time cup car for Gibbs. We're going to talk more about John Hunter Nemechek very, very soon. Matt, I hope you stay tuned, because obviously we've got to have a long discussion on the man that drives the 42 car currently. We will have a very long discussion coming up shortly on that. So stay tuned. We'll talk John Hunter a little bit more. Yeah, I think John Hunter's a product that, number one, I know Toyota doesn't want to lose. I don't think Gibbs wants to lose, but here's the kicker is this. You got Denny Hamlin, who you assume will be back. I say assume because the deal is not signed. Until pen is put to paper and made public, I'm not saying it's for sure because I still can't believe that Kyle Busch is driving a Chevrolet and you know, cheddar scratch, check it. So until it's done, it's not done. But it looks very likely, sort of like Chase Elliott's playoff hopes. And that wasn't a shot at Chase. That was just a good little deal on my part. So it looks pretty likely. Some say Denny's talked about he might have 5 more years. That's a while. Martin Truex Jr. is turning into the modern day Mark Martin or Brett Favre of this sport in terms of, I might not. I'll play a little hokey pokey. We'll dance around it. And then guess what? By about August, I'll make up my mind. Let's go. Let's go play some ball, boys. Let's go. Let me get off the Mississippi tractor, but instead it's the New Jersey fishing boat. So, and we're going to talk more about it, but here's the kicker, Matt. It's a logjam at Gibbs until somebody goes somewhere. Ty Gibbs is going to be the face that runs the place, to use a wrestling reference at one point or another. Christopher Bell, I don't think they're getting rid of him anytime soon. It's been a bit of a down year for Bell compared to last year where he was like Mr. Hail Mary. So we'll see what happens on that. We're going to talk more about all of that very, very shortly. But first, Kyle Kirkwood got it done in Nashville. Mr. Colin Best, you are the senior open wheel guru, and you are the man with the swathed hair, with the swathed plans. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so
Kirkwood.
Yeah, Captain Kyle Kirkwood. I finally got that right. I've been practicing it all day. But Kyle Kirkwood, yes, he did win his second race of the Xfinity Series season, firmly cementing him as probably one of the more successful sophomore stories we've seen in the IndyCar Series in most recent history. I think he's established himself as a guy going forward who can be a contender on these street and road courses, which he's become so good at. And, you know, it was the third and final race ran at the Nashville Grand Prix on this existing layout, because this year it was announced over the weekend that, yes, the final race of the 2024 season moving forward for the next 3 years after that will be held at the streets of Nashville. Kind of a different configuration. It looks like the Big Dipper, to be honest with you. It is 7 turns. Pit road has 4 turns just to get on and off of it. So there's 3/4 of the turns are just on pit road. That is insane. And pit road is in turn 3, which is way far away. So it's on the other side of the bridge. So you have to go around and then you get back on the backstretch. So it's a weird layout. But having Indy cars go down Broadway Street in Nashville with the lights and the glamour and right in front of a Blake Shelton's bar, Old Red, I think is going to be a tremendous venue for IndyCar going forward. And obviously, I think it's a well-deserved championship venue. But really wasn't much to talk about from the Grand Prix in Nashville, because Kyle Kirkwood sort of dominated this race. Yes, you had Romain Grosjean in the top 3 at one point contending for a win, but he did make a mistake and he did finish outside the top 3. The bigger story from this race is Pato O'Ward finished 3rd and Joseph Newgarden finished 4th. So there really was no way for Newgarden to catch up in the championship standings. We only have 4 races left to go in the regular season. The next race for the IndyCar Series is this weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Grand Prix layout. And then we'll have our final oval race at Gateway in 2 weeks after that, because we're 2 weeks away, we're 4 weeks away from a championship being decided in the IndyCar Series. It feels like it's such a short season, but the racing has been fantastic all year long. So tune in this Saturday to the GMR Grand Prix of Indianapolis.
Let us know what you think of the IndyCar season and who your championship pick is, please, in the comments below. We'd appreciate that. Colin will send you a kiss card every time you do. All right. So that means it's time to... Let me just make sure. Yep, that's right. It's time for our happy hour headlines. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and address that elephant in the room, that Dave's triple worth elephant in the room, that Baconator sized elephant in the room. Let's go ahead and do it. All righty. Noah Gragson, he was suspended indefinitely by NASCAR. First, he was suspended by Legacy Motor Club for what appeared to maybe be 1 week, and then NASCAR, about 45 minutes after that announcement, laid down the hammer and suspended him indefinitely. He was suspended for what appeared to be liking a very insensitive meme making fun of the death of George Floyd. And obviously, I want to start out by saying, anyone that watches this show now or in the future that hears this episode, I get that this is a controversial topic and everyone has their opinion, and you are more than welcome to express them on this show in the comments. Please just be respectful. We can disagree until the cows come home. It costs nothing to be kind. So let's just be clear on that. All right, but we do want your thoughts on the Noah Gragson situation. Colin and I are going to break it down. So he was suspended by Legacy Motor Club and then indefinitely suspended by NASCAR for liking the insensitive meme. He will be out at least the next two races. And frankly, it could be a whole lot more. Mike Rockenfeller will drive the 42 for the next 2 weeks. The big hubbub, I believe it was yesterday, was conflicting reports on Noah Gragson's current status with LMC. Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic, who's usually very reliable, put out a report saying that the team had parted ways from Noah Gragson after the suspension. Jim Utter, shortly afterward, said that wasn't the case. There is a statement that was released by Legacy Motor Club. I'd like to go ahead and we can put that up on the screen if we can. If we can put that up, I'll read it, and then we'll break it down from there. The report in The Athletic that we have parted ways with Noah Gragson is untrue. He has not been released from Legacy Motor Club, said a team representative. Mike Rockenfeller will drive for the next 2 weeks at Indian Watkins Glen. Noah is suspended indefinitely by NASCAR, so we will have to identify drivers to compete in the 42 in the interim. NASCAR will determine the timeline when Noah can return to the sport. We are working with Noah and his representation through this process. Okay. So, again, we want your comments. Let us know what your thoughts of the situation is. Please let us know. Just be respectful no matter what side you're on. That's all we ask. So, Colin, I want your thoughts. We know that he should not have liked this meme. Completely insensitive, very stupid, immature. There's just no other way to put it. Anyone that I just don't see how anyone can defend liking the meme. I can see, I can understand thinking it's a bit of an overreaction on NASCAR's part. I can hear that argument, but anyone that's like, it's what's the big deal? It's a pretty insensitive meme of the most racially charged incident of the last decade plus. Let's just be honest about that. I don't know Noah Gragson's heart at all. I'm not sitting here discussing his views on race. I'm just saying that's just not a good look. You can't do it. What do you think his future is in the 42? To me, when I read that statement, the first half of it, it sounds like there might be a path back to the 42 this season. But when I get to that end part where the Legacy Motor Club representative says we're working with Noah and his representative through this process, to me, purely speculative, I don't know anything. To me, that sounds like we might be working towards a buyout. What say you, Colin, on that?
Yeah, I've thought about this long and hard today, and I've come to the conclusion that, you know, Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic is rarely wrong when it comes to his reporting. True. He's really spot on. And the fact that Jim Utter, who, if anyone's a classless human being, it's him. I'm just throwing that out there. He's not a good person either, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. To me, Noah Gragson put Legacy Motor Club in this position to react to what he did, and what he, I'm going to say for both of us, what he did was not right. And I think there's going to be a buyout of him. You know, we don't know how his contract looks, so we don't know if if he violates a personal conduct policy, there is a buyout to his contract. It may just void it, and then he moves on. You know, the thing is that a lot of people on social media, it was trending on Twitter for a good bit, where you see one side of the demographic absolutely upset with how NASCAR and Legacy Motor Club did. Well, Legacy Motor Club was put in this position, and if anyone is running a multi-million dollar business like Jimmy Johnson and Maurice Gallagher, and you know, Richard Petty's name is tied to this program because it is Legacy Motor Club. There's reputations and sponsors to uphold, and what Noah Gregson did was completely unacceptable. If any driver did this in the NASCAR Cup Series garage, Xfinity Series garage, Truck Series garage, F1, IndyCar, doesn't matter, they would be gone. And we saw that with Kyle Larson, but the difference between Larson is Larson was talented and Noah Gregson hasn't really performed in that 42 car. And he really didn't perform well in that 9 car like we all expected him to. I mean, he never won a championship in the 9 car. For the past couple of years, has probably been the best car in the Xfinity Series in terms of equipment and speed on a week-to-week basis when Gregson was in the car and he couldn't do it. So I find it very doubtful that Gregson ever finds a ride in the Cup Series again. Will he find a ride for like Our Motorsports or somebody like that? Probably, because I think he has sponsors that come with him. I think there are sponsors that joined him from the Xfinity Series garage to the Cup Series garage. But, you know, this is a very fluid situation. We have no idea what they think either. So, honestly, it would not surprise me if Gregson just is out of the sport entirely. You know, it's a shame that he is, because I do think he has some talent to deserve to be in the Cup Series. But you look at every other driver in that car. I mean, Josh Berry, I mean, he didn't run really well in that 42 car. That 42 car is awful. And Eric Jones, in the same car, had a top 10 run at Michigan at one point. He was running inside the top 10. He's had a great day. So
he did finish in the top 10, P10.
Yeah, it was just for some reason that 43 car, maybe it's Eric Jones, maybe it's the team itself, is outperforming that 42 car on a week-to-week basis. And it's sad because that 42 car has so much history in the NASCAR Cup Series. I mean, that was Lee Petty's number, for crying out loud. That was the original Daytona 500 winning car number. And if a guy like John Hunter Nemechek comes into this ride because Toyota is becoming the manufacturer for Legacy Motor Club, I think that 42 car may outperform Eric Jones, even though Eric Jones, I think, is the better driver of the two between John Hunter and Eric. I think Eric's the better one. So, you know, it was a shame to see it. It was a shame because NASCAR doesn't need any bad publicity right now. The racing has been phenomenal all season long. I think, in my opinion, it's this racing was better than last year. I think with the terms of winners, the close races, the drama, we've had it all this year. And it's only going to get better as the season progresses into a playoff run. But a team like Legacy Motor Club with Richard Petty, you don't piss off the king in NASCAR. We've seen how this happens. So I'm all for Legacy Motor Club, what they did. I don't think anyone is to blame other than Noah Gregson himself.
Well, let's get to a couple comments from Matt. And again, appreciate it, Matt. Keep it coming. LMC did refute the Athletic report, so I don't know where this is going. Personally, wish it just means he goes through sensitivity training and is back next season. Doesn't excuse Noah's behavior by any means, but hope he learns from this mistake. Got to agree with you. Matt also says this would be a convenient time to put John Hunter and Nemechek in the 42 since they're switching to Toyota next year. I would agree with that, Matt. Unfortunately for John Hunter and Legacy, they're still a shabby team right now. So there's not a snowball's chance in hell, in my opinion, that Chevrolet approves John Hunter coming into the 42 a little early. People wonder why Josh Berry was at number one. It was so last minute. Number two, from what I read, the reason that Josh Berry was approved is because they're both lame ducks, meaning Josh Berry's going to Ford next year and Legacy's going to Toyota. I do want to be as fair as I can be to Noah and say this. I like Noah. I don't personally believe that this is his heart in the way he is. I think he just liked what is essentially, let's call it what it is, a very insensitive shit post, and he needs to know better. You represent Fortune 500 companies. And at the end of the day, that's what this is about. They don't want anyone that is anything close to controversial. I'm sorry. I just don't see a world where Wendy's is, you know, I'm not saying they hate Noah Gregson now, but why would you? Noah Gregson becomes a liability. And the biggest thing that Noah Gregson had going for him until this week was that he was so great with sponsors. The stuff he's done with Wendy's this year has been very, very cool. The way he has put himself out there and been a goofball in all the right ways for them until now. And if you're Noah Gregson, this couldn't have happened at the worst, at any worst time, to kind of borrow from RC last year with Childress and Reddick. There were already rumors they're looking to get rid of you, or at least thinking about it, and you may have just handed them the keys to that proverbial car. And I know people say, well, we don't know when he liked it. Some say he liked it in May. Some say he liked it in 2020. It doesn't matter. You can't like it. You can't. You absolutely cannot like it. You have to understand, and I know that people get upset and say, well, you're limiting his right and free speech. Number one, respectfully, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't speak anything. He liked a meme, so let's stop the free speech thing. Secondly, if you don't like that you have to be a little bit more PC to be in the Cup Series, don't run in the Cup Series. I understand it sucks. I get it. Sometimes, believe me, Colin and I get it. There's been times we'd like to share some opinions that we go, we really can't for the sake of our careers. We understand that it can be a pain, but you have to decide, is the job worth it? You know, Noah Gregson can go drive for a team that doesn't care. He can go drive for someone like Matty D does, and whatever. But if you want to run in the Cup Series in today's era, you got to kind of play the PC game. I totally respect that everyone has an opinion on this issue. I really do. But man, I don't understand how you can defend liking the meme. You can call it an overreaction. Maybe it is in terms of NASCAR's handling of it. But you can't defend liking the meme. I would like to see Noah back in the 42 next year. I said that last week. Still feel that way because I don't think we've seen the full brunt of his potential. Because let's not forget, he did win 8 races last year in that number 9 car. He won 8 races, 4 in a row at one point. Back-to-back championship, 4 appearances in the Xfinity Series. I think he's plenty good driver. I really do. And if he isn't, I don't think this year proves it because they have no help from Chevrolet at all. And whatever resources the team does have, most of them is going to go to the 43 because that's the name of the game with the brand, the iconic Richard Petty 43. And frankly, Eric Jones is a wheel man. So I don't know if we've seen the full ability. But at this point, I don't know. It doesn't look very likely at this stage. I would guess a buyout is coming, purely guessing. Because you could kind of save face and have him drive the last 11, 10 weeks of the season. But if he has no path to getting the ride back next year, what's the point? I mean, other than auditioning for another team. But I don't know if in those 10 races he would change anyone's mind. I think with Noah Gregson, when it comes to his on-track performance, you go, either this isn't who he is or it is who he is, and I don't know if any of those 10 races would change that. That's just my take on the on-track. Will he race again somewhere? I'm sure. My money at this point is not him being back in the 42. If he's not back by Daytona, I don't think he's coming back at all. I think John Hunter is going to the 42. If it's not John Hunter, to be someone like Sammy Smith or somebody that Toyota wants in there. Because this just feels like a start fresh sort of thing. Again, I'm not trying to knock Noah. I like Noah. I do. But you can't condone these actions, and unfortunately, you may have just handed Legacy the keys to the car. When you represent these kind of companies, that's the microscope you're under. I mean, that is. It's an unfortunate part of the job. But what's also unfortunate is he liked the meme. Now, I will say this to be entirely fair, so no one can say you're not being fair. You're just defending Legacy because you love Legacy. You know, I do think in retrospect, given the severe punishment that Noah Gregson is getting, and I think rightfully so for the most part. Maybe Denny Hamlin should have got a more severe penalty as well when he made the meme with Kyle Larson, because an insensitive race meme is an insensitive race meme, period. You know, if, because that's the closest thing we have to a precedent to go on. Colin, what say you on, is this penalty too severe? I felt like 1 week might have been enough, to be honest. He did apologize. To his credit, he did apologize and owned it very well on Twitter. Hasn't had a chance to speak since then. What say you? Do you feel like this is an overreaction in terms of the length of the punishment? And do you think that he would benefit from getting back in that 42 at all?
Well, I'll answer the second part of the question first. No, he wouldn't benefit at all getting 42. I think we've seen this multiple times throughout the season where he is just not happy being part of that 42 team. We've seen it countless times in many interviews. He's given up. The season's over. He was waiting for Toyota to come in 2024. Now, is the suspension severe enough? Well, when you use words like indefinite, I mean, if you want to think about, Pete Rose has been indefinitely suspended from ever being considered for the Hall of Fame. He just won't get it. We all know it, but MLB will say some language like that. And the thing is, NASCAR has a road to being reinstated. We don't know how long this process takes. Many drivers have been involved in taking this, like Kyle Larson was the most recent example. And I don't know how long it took him. Maybe it took him maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks or something like that. I mean, suspending him for the rest of the season just sounds better, because at least you know there's something's going to happen at the end of the year, whether he's released or he comes back. Or if it's indefinite suspended for NASCAR, you have no idea until NASCAR decides it's time for him to come back, which I can't really put a time frame on it, because there's so many moving parts. You know, like you said, Legacy Motor Club is a lame duck team right now. They don't really care who's in that car, as long as they have a driver to put in that 42 car who Chevrolet's okay with. That's pretty much the only reason. And as you were reading, I read the same article. Josh Berry was kind of like a, you know, just lame duck, but Mike Rockefeller is going to be stepping into that 42 car, and he's done work with the Garage 56 program.
He's one of Jimmy's teammates,
but he's also in good standing with Chevrolet. Mm-hmm. So Chevrolet's like, okay, you can run him. Because I think having Mike Rockefeller in the 42 car for Indianapolis this week gives them a really good shot to be in contention for that race. Because if anyone's driven probably the most time on a road course in the next gen car, it has to be Mike Rockefeller. Right. Because he just did 3 months of testing, get ready for the 24 hours of Le Mans. So if anyone knows how to push this car to the absolute limit, not even SVG could learn the things and the amount of time Mike Rockefeller could do it. So, I mean, it could be an easy pick for me to win this week. That's a tease, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. But Logan would be very happy if I picked the 42 car, because he's a Legacy Motorsport fan.
Absolutely. It's all about the club and Richard Petty's team, no doubt about it. Yeah. No, Jimmy Johnson said it best, I thought. He thinks that Rockefeller will give LMC the best result possible, whatever that may be. I do think you can make an argument that the punishment is a little too severe. Because yes, insensitive, stupid, moronic. Can't state it any plainer. But at some point, you do also go, all right, does he know he messed up? Yeah. Okay. If we take Noah Gregson at his word, he seems to understand he messed up. His apology, I liked the fact that his Twitter apology wasn't some hammed in, typed out, well-written statement that a lawyer drew up. You can tell that Noah Gregson typed that, and I liked that. I could tell that was an honest take from him. And so at some point, just from a human standpoint, have we crossed the line into, okay, I get it, now you're just kicking me while I'm down? And that's where I go, you know, is a suspension for the rest of the season a good thing? Matt Moore says he thinks the driver track time is track time. More races to audition for a better ride after a controversial moment. Take that car and give it the best run possible after the suspension. Hey, as a Legacy Motor Club guy, I'm with you, Matt. I get it. the thing about it is it depends on what a pariah he's going to become to sponsors, because the reality is this: Kyle Larson is at Hendrick because he proved he was good enough to be at Hendrick when he was at Ganassi. That, you know, we all knew his talent, especially on the two mile ovals. We all knew what a dirt guy he is and was. And so it's just interesting to me. Noah doesn't have that pedigree. That doesn't mean that he won't be a great driver someday. I have no idea on that, but he's coming off one of the worst rookie seasons in recent memory, probably the worst rookie season for a petty related driver since Christian Fittipaldi. If anyone remembers that name, if you look up the numbers, they were dreadful. They were absolutely dreadful. And so just, he doesn't have any kind of good standing in the car to lean on to go get a better ride or a ride in the Cup Series. I feel like Noah Gregson's future, if he's released from the 42, because his best shot to stay in the Cup Series is to somehow smooth it over with Jimmy and the fellas and be like, hey, give me one more year, one more shot, and I'll be the best citizen I could be. If he's not able to do that, you're looking at a truck or Xfinity ride, and you gotta go pay your dues. You know, that's the way it is. We'll see what happens. Again, want to be fair to Noah. Want to be fair to Legacy. We certainly don't condone liking the meme. I also don't think Noah Gregson is the worst person in the world now. I think he is the same that I thought he was. I think he's a good guy at heart, but he's a young, immature goofball. We'll see what happens with Noah. We'll keep you updated on Legacy as the rest of the year moves along. Hopefully they figure out what they're doing over the next two.
Even the puppy agrees.
Hopefully they'll figure out what they're doing over the next 2 weeks, because this is a major distraction. All right, let's keep
moving along.
Michael McDowell and Todd Gilliland had their options picked up by Front Row. Talk to me, Colin.
Yeah, so I thought this was very interesting because Michael McDowell has been one of the names we've thrown around in free agency as sort of this guy who could replace Eric Amarola. From reports, SHR thought that Michael McDowell was the best available Ford driver that they could get inside in that 10 car. And the problem with SHR is that Michael McDowell had sponsorship, had really no money. Loves was with Furniture Row, with Front Row Motorsports, while Smithfield Bacon, sponsor us, please. We both, Logan and I both support your product, by the way. So anyway, that was an Eric Amarola thing because I think his family like owns it or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, so if he's gone, Smithfield's gone. So who are you going to fill in with sponsorship that could possibly take over that 10 car ride? And the names are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, again, we don't know if Eric Amarola is going to retire. I mean, that's sort of like the scuttlebutt around the NASCAR Cup Series garage that he's going to, but we have no idea if he's going to. He could pull a Martin Truex Jr. and be back, and I feel like if he comes back, it would be a disservice to that 10 car, disservice to the legacy that he has. See what I did there? Because I think for Front Row Motorsports, they've actually done a really good job. They're actually improving as a team, and I think Michael McDowell has shown speed that not only on the road courses and the super speedways, but he can be competitive on the mile and a half, 2 miles, and short tracks this year, and that team is obviously getting better. So for me, I think Front Row Motorsports may be probably a mid-card contender next year. I think they'd probably be one of the, I could say probably the second best Ford team in the Cup Series garage next year. I could seriously think that because they have the talent. And I like Todd Gilliland. I think he has extreme talent. He could be a dark horse pick for this weekend's Indianapolis Road Course race because he did get a top three last year. His first ever top three finish in the NASCAR Cup Series. So, you know, big things are going up for Front Row Motorsports. So glad they locked in their drivers for a multi-year deal. So good for them.
Good for them indeed. Look, I think that great on Front Row for number one to finalize a driver lineup before December, which is not something they typically do. They understood that it was time to step up the game and build something if they're going to ever move to be one of those B tier organizations. The arguably bigger news though is Zane Smith is free to look at other options. I take that as an implication that he's a free agent. I think that means that right now, if Eric Almirola does retire, and that's a big if, who knows, until it's done, it's not done, I think Zane Smith would have to be the favorite to take that 10 car at this point. McDowell was the rumored favorite. Obviously, he is sticking around for at least another year at front row. I think Zane Smith might be a good driver to build around and kind of have as your young gun as Chase Briscoe hits more of the veteran status. So that would be my guess. That is all it is. Now, I'm starting to wonder if Stuart Haas isn't going to try to get Eric Almirola to do the full 2 years of his contract, because say what you want about the results, but number one, that Smithfield money is extremely important to the team right now, especially when they're going to have to do a lot of patchwork for Josh Berry for the four, it seems. Also, it can be a stopgap and give them another full year to look around and go, all right, who are we going to get? Because every great option, and this isn't disrespectful to Zane Smith, but every like star option on the board seems to be falling through. And maybe one more year Almirola results kind of be damned gives them that stopgap they need to go get that next big thing and really put some spice into their team. We'll see what happens. What do you think, folks? What do you think, Racing Refresh lovers? Let us know, you happy hour hotheads. Do you think that Zane Smith should go to the 10? Do you think Eric Almirola should come on back? Let us know in the comments below. We love reading them. Thanks a lot, Matt, for being so interactive in today's episode. Also, a quick reminder, you can follow us on our socials. Check them out at the bottom on the ticker. Follow us, give us a like. We do appreciate it. We want to grow this thing. We can only grow this thing as much as you allow us. And finally, for happy hour headlines, MTJ is coming back for at least one more season. That was announced. Bob Pockers broke the story. Of course, we all love B-Poc. He is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. So MTJ coming back for at least one more year. The heavy favorite of replacing him in the 19 was John Hunter, probably still is John Hunter, because if he goes to the 42 next year and Truex hangs it up, I mean, you could be looking at a four straight year of the 42 having a new driver. But MTJ coming back, I think that's a big win for Gibbs. I think that's a huge win for Gibbs, because again, it might be one of those cases where sponsorship. Now, I know Gibbs doesn't have the sponsorship issues that Stuart Haas is having, but Bass Pro Shops is Martin Truex Jr., and to get them back on board for another full year, and they clearly support him heavily, is big. And Martin Truex Jr. has proven he's still a championship contender. Thoughts on him coming back, Colin?
Yeah, I think for Joe Gibbs Racing, they need a guy like Martin Truex Jr. to come back for at least one more year. In my opinion, I think he's still one of the top guys. He's the now elder statesman in the NASCAR Cup Series garage. And for lack of a better term, you know, not sorry, I got mixed up. I was trying to look up the entry list for Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course Race. But, you know, I think for MTJ, this is sort of that was like this big puzzle to fall, because he had all the time in the world to kind of make this decision. It was either John Hunter Nemechek's in the 19 car or he wasn't. MTJ was coming back. And now with MTJ coming back, that 42 car, rock solid, going to be John Hunter Nemechek's ride in 2024. So obviously this is huge for both of these teams. One is now a new Toyota satellite team, which can help get Toyota's numbers up in the field, because that's very important. We don't talk about that a lot. They're the smallest manufacturer in the Cup Series, and now having a third full-time team with two more cars, certainly when it comes to super speedways, Daytona and Talladega, Toyota's going to be more powerful at those races, and they don't have to compete with the Fords. They don't have to work with the Chevys to beat the Fords. Toyota can actually be their own solid team in Daytona and Talladega. So for me, I think that Martin Truex Jr. sort of becoming the teacher for Eric Jones and John Hunter Nemechek, sort of that guy that everyone can go to in the Toyota camp besides Denny Hamlin and say, help me out, elder statesman, help me out, old man. And then, you know, Martin Truex Jr., hell, he'll have more money to buy boats next year. Let's just say that.
It's going to be interesting, no doubt about it. Matt Marr, another great comment here. By the way, Colin, you can go ahead and check your DMs. I sent you the entry list courtesy of our lovely website. Thank you. Matt Marr with a lovely a lovely comment here. I'm conflicted with the possibility of Zane going to the 10. He's having a great year in trucks, but he hasn't done anything in Xfinity, and I don't know if he's ready for that larger step. It's a great point, Matt, but what other options do you see besides Zane Smith right now when you're looking? I mean, I guess Cole Custer is still an option. He's, of course, down in the Xfinity Series in the Stewart Haas pipeline. Theoretically, Riley Herbst would be as well, but I would think Custer has the inside edge on that, given that he has a Cup experience and of course, his father is very high up in the organization as far as all that goes. So if you don't think Zane Smith is the guy, I shouldn't assume that. Matt, do you think Zane Smith is the guy? If you don't, who is the guy? Let us know. We'll try to get to it before we go off the air. So, all right. Yeah, I think it's great for MTJ. I think it's great for Joe Gibbs. I don't know why you would step away when you're still this good. You should go until you suck. And I mean a couple of years of it. That way you're sure that you suck. You know, because everybody can have an off year. There's no, in my opinion, I get that people like the idea of going out on top. I think that's hogwash. Why would you go out on top? Why would you stop? Doesn't make any sense to me. It never has. I think you should, you know, you might as well use up all the gifts God gave you. So go ahead and keep on doing it. All right. So with that, we're getting close to it. It's time. It is time. It is time. It's time for our weekend preview.
Beautiful, beautiful scenes.
Beautiful scenes here that you only get at Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Just gorgeous, just absolutely gorgeous. All right, so the trucks are at IRP. SVG's making his truck series debut. We talked about it some last week with our good buddy Matt Nicholson. But again, what are your expectations for SVG in the truck series this weekend? Anything at all?
This is going to be his first experience at oval racing, and he's going to learn that the truck series is probably not where he wants to go for 2024. If he wants to try to get more experience in the NASCAR Cup Series, I think he's an Xfinity Series level talent, and I think he should actually try there first. This is going to be an absolute – I guess this is – schools are starting up across the country. They are here in Florida, and I assume this is the last – good old Friday night short track race under the lights in Indianapolis. It's sure to be a great race. Oh, IRP is a fun race. If you're an old NASCAR video gamer, if you remember like NASCAR 09 or 08, you remember the trucks ran at ORP and it was a fun time. It's a different racetrack entirely. You don't run the bottom. You run the top around that place to make speed. It's kind of like a Darlington-ish, but it's a half mile and it's flat. I think it's going to be a great race, but my prediction for the winner is going to be Zane Smith will lock himself into the second round of the NASCAR Truck Series playoffs.
I'm going to agree with you. I don't know how SVG will do. I'm not even going to speculate on that, but I do think Zane Smith continues to, especially now, he'll probably be a little pissed off because he's not getting the ride at front row. And so he's going to be an extra motivator to Zane Smith. I think he gets it done as well. Give me an Xfinity pick before we keep moving along.
See, it's hard to probably go against John Herman Niemiec as much as how good he is. But I know someone's going trophy hunting, and I know someone's probably upset from the Road America race. So I'm going to take A.J. Allmendinger gets the win at the Xfinity Series race.
I'm going to go with John Hunter Nemechek. I think he's hot. I think he's peaking. I think he smells a Cup ride with Legacy, and I think he wants to make that decision as hard as it can be for them. All right, let's look at the comment here from Matt Marr. He said, first of all, there should be more four teams of Xfinity. I agree. Second, he thinks Zane is the only option given the lackluster performance of Custer the last couple of seasons in the Cup Series. Being 21 and 22. I think you're right. I really do. But again, it could be kind of like the Eric Almirola thing. If Eric Almirola doesn't come back, maybe you need a stopgap guy until you find the right piece, until you can start maneuvering, because the business model can change from year to year so much for these teams. So maybe one stopgap year of Almirola for one more season or Custer might be just what the doctor ordered, because we have no idea how this sport's going to look 1 year from now. And if you don't believe me, and I'm sure you do, Matt, but if you don't believe me, look at how this sport looks now compared to last year. I would have never thought we're in half the spots we're in. So we'll see. Maybe a stopgap of Custer and Almirola is the way to go. Matt says he's excited to see SVG at IRP. He said he's sure done a lot of sim. He's sure he's done a lot of sim to prepare for it. I'm sure he has. Very interested to see what SVG does on an oval. If he were to win, you can kiss the baby and throw him in the air because he's going to get the 91 full time somehow or another. We'll see what happens, but we're very excited. I do. I think Zane Smith gets done. I think John Hunter for the Xfinity Series. All right, so that means it's time for a little game. It's time to bring it home. It's time for Racing Refresh Picks. All right, come on in here, producer Peggy. Come on in here. Come on in, and let's talk about it. So give us the update on the scoreboard.
So I won with my pick of Ty Gibbs. Logan lost. Well, you all lost, but Logan really lost with his Kyle Busch pick.
Happiest loss I've taken all season, promise.
Who did I pick again last week?
You picked Austin Dillon.
See, I was doing good. He was having a top 10 run.
So, with that, Logan picks first.
I'll go ahead and take Austin Cindric. I think he's absolutely capable of – that's big league, brother. I think he's absolutely capable of being a dark horse to win this race. Indy's going to be chaos. I'll take Austin Cindric for a little surprise.
Next is Adam. We gave Adam BJ McLeod, but he actually didn't race. It was Josh Blicky. So that gave him second worst. And he responded this week with Allmendinger as his first choice. So Adam gets AJ Allmendinger.
It's a good pick. Solid pick.
All right, Colin, I think that means it's you. What's up, brother?
See, the thing is, this race is absolutely stacked with international talent. You have Kumi Kobayashi in the 67 car. You have Brody in the 33. You have Mike Rockefeller in the 42. But you have an F1 champion in the 15 car. Give me Jenson Button to win the Indianapolis Road Course race.
All right.
I'm going to... Because I didn't want to pick Noah Gregson all year. No offense. I've been saving that. So I will take Rockefeller.
All right. Well, that means it's time for closing time.
If I can find it.
Do you like my hair clip, guys? I think I look cute.
It's gorgeous.
You should get the early 2000s butterfly clips.
Absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I mean, what is – look at that. I think that'd be – this is going to be clipped. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go. Do you want to get to a – man, that's gorgeous. Do you want to get to the last comments from Matt? He said an option for SHR and is in this Almirola-Smith situation would be if Almirola retires, lease out the 10 charter until Smith is more ready for the Cup Series. You never know. Even making that 10-car part-time team for Zane Smith. And then he's got a – he said his dark horse is a Bradecki winner, but his winner, Kyle Larson. Matt, I want to personally thank you for all the comments this week. Thank you. You're a loyal watcher, and we really appreciate you. We consider you a dear friend of the Race Refresh family.
Very pretty.
Oh, that's got to be a real.
Very pretty. Look at me. I'm in a pocket full of sunshine.
Colin, you got any? Colin, you beautiful, beautiful man. Do you have any final words?
Well, My final words today is we didn't talk about the IndyCar Series race that's going on this weekend because we're at Indianapolis and it is IndyCar's home track. And, you know, we're four races to go. Alex Blow is going to probably be the lock for the championship this week. Thank you. And Matt, my name is with two L's, not one. I'm tired of everyone saying one L, but whatever. It's fine. But anyway, I'm going to think Alexander Rossi from Team McLaren picks up the win at Indianapolis Road Course weekend. Have a great race weekend, everybody. Enjoy it. And hey, remember, football is on. We have preseason games going on right now, getting your fantasy team lineup set. I know it's a very exciting sports calendar. I got to say, got a shout out to the Baltimore Orioles for being first place in the AL East. It's a very exciting time for me because they suck. They suck so bad. They have sucked. Now they don't anymore. What else? Support your local short track and support local journalism too. Buy a newspaper subscription.
Amen to that. Peggy, any final words?
No.
All right. That's fine. Matt Moore says, "Boo, go Jays." He's a Toronto guy. I'm a Reds fan, folks. I'm a Reds fan. We're going through the doldrums at this moment, but it's been a pretty good year overall. We're going to turn it around. So with that, again, Matt, I want to thank you for all the comments. Thank you so much. Colin, thank you as always for your lovely work. Looking forward to next week. Some of these topics aren't the easiest. Some of these weeks aren't the easiest, but we break them down. And I have it on good authority, that the show creator is going to be back next week.
What?
I think he's going to be back from Italy. So I think we'll be back to a four-person booth, essentially.
The power play is over. We're back at full strength.
Yeah. So
not quite full strength because I'll be in Vegas.
Why will you be in Vegas?
For funsies.
What's that?
just because.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Taylor Swift. Bleep you, all right? Look, I understand that you have a worldwide tour with millions and millions of fans going over you, but my fiance has tried so hard to get 4 damn tickets to your New Orleans show, and she's been waitlisted. I am no longer a fan of you, Taylor Swift. I believe you should play in outdoor arenas only with no seating capacity. Perform at the Grand Canyon. Perform at Central Park. The Statue of Liberty. I don't care where you play. Daytona International Speedway and pack it full, baby. That's where she should be really having these events. Racetracks. You know why? Because you can fit millions of freaking people into these stands. She can make a boatload of money and more people can see it. Do you understand? Hold on. I think I just created a new business model for musicians. Sell out racetracks. You'll make way more money. But anyway, screw you, Taylor Swift, for breaking my fiance's heart. And I hope you continue to make great music because you're actually a really talented musician. And you actually make her very happy. But regardless, go to Daytona. Go to Bristol. That'd be cool. Just right, there's my rant's over. I just had to get that off my chest.
Well, this has been one interesting episode of Race from Your Crush.
And go see the Barbie movie. Call your mom. Tell your lover.
Call your mom and yeah, tell.
See the Barbie movie.
Go see Barbie movie. I'm Team Barbie all the way.
Plenty of people have. It's over 100 million at the box office or something. It's pretty insane. Matt Morris is not really a new business model. But with that, every great episode's got to come to an end. So with that, we'll see you next week. Follow us on our socials. Matt Marsh said the Barbie movie was great. Follow us on our socials. Give us a like. Give us a share. We'll see you next week where we break down all the Indy action, NASCAR, IndyCar. Until then, Omaha, I'm out of here.
See you.